Tonight we want to begin what should not be a very long series, maybe tonight and our next Sunday night, Lord willing, but a study about the Philistines who were enemies of Israel. In fact, when we think about the enemies of Israel from the Old Testament, the Philistines, well, at least to me, that tends to be the one that pops into my mind first. Of course, Israel had troubles with many of their neighbors, and we've looked at various aspects of that in prior studies. We had a pretty, a few lessons not too long ago about the Edomites, those descendants of Esau that were bitter enemies of Israel. They were brethren to Israel, as Jacob and Esau were brothers, and we traced the history of that conflict between Edom and Israel. So that's one we think about, and the children of Ammon and Moab, those descendants of Lot. There was much conflict with the children of Israel, with those other cousins of theirs, their brethren, who had descended from the nephew of Abraham, that was Lot. So we think about those enemies there, and there were others around them that they had conflict with. And sometimes we will read about the Syrians that they had troubles with, and some others. But the Philistines really stand out as one of the historical enemies of the children of Israel as it pertains to the Old Testament. There are many of the great events that are recorded in the Old Testament in Israel's history that pertain to or were involved with that seemingly ever-present conflict between Israel and the Philistines. We all know about that great event, or the story of David and Goliath, and not to use the word story as if that were anything related to fiction. It's obviously a 100% true accurate story, but that what we're told about David and Goliath. I mean, Goliath was that giant that was a champion of the Philistines, so we know about that. And there are many, many times in Israel's history where conflict arose between Israel and the Philistines. Well, to understand really what led to that, the Philistines occupied land that was adjacent to where the Israelites dwelt. Actually, it was within the very borders of the land that God gave to the children of Israel. And as we will look to see, Lord willing, in just a few minutes, as we progress into this study about this, we'll see that God had given the boundaries for the land that he had promised to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, that he was going to deliver to the children of Israel, that land included what was occupied by the Philistines. The Philistines, they had a territory that was on, if we can kind of mentally picture a map of Israel, and as we normally would look at that from your vantage point, over here you'd have the Mediterranean Sea, you've got the Jordan River down the middle and the territory of Israel on either side, but it's on that Mediterranean coast is where the, particularly in the southern coast, where the Philistines dwelt. And so that put them in not just close proximity to the children of Israel, but right there within their territory on the seacoast. And so that's what led to the recurring conflict between those nations. But before we get into that, we don't want to just start with Israel and the Philistines having fights. I mean, who were these Philistines? Where did they come from? And what's the background of that? And where do we end up going to learn these kinds of things? the book of the beginnings. That is the book of Genesis. We go to chapter 10 right now to the book of Genesis. When we read chapters like Genesis 10 genealogies there are so many names in there and begats, and we can get bogged down in that, and we just kind of maybe start just reading through somebody begat somebody who begat somebody, and it's just a bunch of names, and they begat other names. And then we don't really necessarily think about it or see what these names are, who these people were, or maybe how they relate to others that we read about or nations that we read about in the scriptures. Mention that just so that when we're reading that, we don't want to get in the habit of just breezing through any part of the Word of God, because we're going to miss things then, and we're going to forsake an opportunity to learn, to grow in our knowledge and understanding. And so many of what we see in the background here in Genesis chapter 10 of these different names that are there, I mean, we find the background of a lot of the nations that we read about elsewhere in the scriptures. And this is recording their beginnings. And so it is also with the Philistines. In Genesis chapter 10 and verse 6, he's starting to give genealogy of the sons of Ham, who was one of Noah's sons. Chapter 10 begins with these generations of the sons of Noah, Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now, when we think about our common ancestors, and we're all related, we have common ancestors. When we think about our common ancestors, who do we think about? Well, we might first think about Adam. We all descend from Adam and Eve, don't we? And that's true. Those are common ancestors of all of us. So we're all cousins from that standpoint. When we think about it further, though, that's not our only common ancestor, is it? Noah and Noah's wife is a common ancestor to us all, because all the other descendants of Adam and Eve, with the exception of that family, drowned in the flood. So only that family that descended from Adam and Eve, that of Noah and his wife and their three sons and their wives, the eight souls that were saved in the ark during the time of the flood, all human beings on earth today will go back to that family. And so Noah and his wife are common ancestors for all of us. And that's the genealogy that he's recording here in Genesis chapter 10. So when we get to verse 6, he's gives the descendants of Noah's son, Ham. And it says, and the sons of Ham, Cush and Mizraim and Fur and Canaan. Well, and we might recognize some names there. Well, certainly the name Canaan should stand out. And we see where the Canaanite people had their origins. These were descendants of Ham. But there's another one there that we don't think about Mizraim that often, if ever. He was one of those sons of Ham right there. And a little bit further down in this record, in verses 13 and 14, he picks up with Mizraim in verse 13 and says, and Mizraim begat Ludim and Anamim and Lahaim and Nephraim. All right, and then he says, and Pathrusin and Kalushim, out of whom came Philistim. Well, that's the word for the Philistines. So there's where their origins were. So he's giving names that, in many cases, are the fathers of these nations, because they go back to Noah. Here are the ones that became the fathers of these various nations. And so here is this Philistim who was from Mizraim, who was one of the sons of Ham. So the Philistines were descendants of Noah through Noah's son, Ham, and through that son, Mizraim of his, via that Kesluhim, or however you say that. So there's the origin. That's the beginning or the father of what we know of as the Philistines, and that's where the name comes from. Now, we don't read anything more about them until we read about them as a nation in existence in chapter 20, Genesis chapter 20, where we read about their king who is known as Abimelech. This is a name that comes up with the kings of the Philistine people in the book of Genesis, in Abraham's time, as well as his son Isaac. So we're reading about the Philistines in Genesis chapters 20 and 21 and 26. Three chapters in Genesis record dealings of the patriarchs with the Philistines. Well, Abraham was called out of his country to go and sojourn in the land of Canaan. Well, the land was filled with these descendants of Ham, the Canaanite people, as well as the Philistines over on the Mediterranean coast. Should it surprise us that there was some interaction between Abraham and Isaac with the Philistines? That should not be surprising because they dwelt there. And so Abraham had to deal with these different people of these nations of the land. He was sojourning there. But we also keep in mind that in this land and Abraham's dealings with these Canaanite people and the Philistines, that these were people that he was dealing with that were occupying the land that God was promising to give to Abraham's descendants one day through Isaac and Jacob, which would mean what was going to happen to the people that whose land it was at this time when Abraham and Isaac, when the patriarchs were there, when sojourning there. They were sojourning in the land that was occupied by these others, but God was going to destroy these other nations and give all this land to the descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so it would be given to the children of Israel, who was Jacob. So Abraham, in Genesis chapter 20, he was sojourning. As we know, he dwelt in tabernacles. And so at this particular time that we read about in Genesis chapter 20, he's in over in this area of the land of Canaan where the Philistines are. So it tells us in Genesis chapter 20 and verse 1 that Abraham journeyed from thence toward the south country and dwelled between Kadesh and Shur and sojourned in Gerar. Well, that's one of the cities of the Philistines here. And it says, and Abraham said of Sarah, his wife, she is my sister, and Abimelech, king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. So he's one of the Philistine kings. And we'll see this pattern with that particular nation. They were a nation that was really a confederacy of these city states, these powerful cities that had their rulers of those cities that were the lords or kings of the Philistines. So they were one people, but they were really a collection of city states that cooperated together as a nation. These Philistines were, and so here's Abimelech. He's the king of Gerar, one of the Philistine cities, Abraham was dwelling there. So when Sarah was with him, Abraham introduced Sarah as his sister, which she was. She was his half sister, but she, of course, was more than that. She was his wife. So then Abimelech, the king of Gerar, sent and took Sarah. But God, in verse 3, came to Abimelech in a dream by night and said to him, behold, thou art but a dead man, for the woman which thou hast taken, for she is a man's wife. But Abimelech had not come near her, and he said, Lord, wilt thou slay also a righteous nation? Said he not unto me, she is my sister? And she herself said, he is my brother? In the integrity of my heart and innocency of my hands have I done this. And God said unto him in a dream, yea, I know that thou didst this in the integrity of thy heart, for I also withheld thee from sinning against me. Therefore suffered I thee not to touch her. Now there restore the man his wife, for he is a prophet, and he shall pray for thee, and thou shalt live. And if thou restore her not, know thou that thou shalt surely die, thou and all that are thine. And therefore Abimelech arose early in the morning and called all his servants and told all these things in their ears, and the men were sore afraid. And of course, then we know Abimelech restored Sarah back to Abraham. So God did show him mercy because he had innocently taken her. But he required her to give him to give her back, of course, and he did. And so God did show mercy and spared Abimelech in this situation. Abraham was this was the beginning of this was because Abraham was dwelling in this land ruled by Abimelech, the king of Gerar. And so it says then after this in verse 14 that Abimelech took sheep and oxen and men servants and women servants and gave them unto Abraham and restored him Sarah his wife. And Abimelech said, behold, my land is before thee, dwell where it pleaseth thee. And unto Sarah he said, behold, I have given thy brother 1,000 pieces of silver. Behold, he is to thee a covering of the eyes unto all that are with thee and with all other. Thus she was reproved. So Abraham prayed unto God, and God healed Abimelech and his wife and his maidservants, and they bare children, for the Lord had fast closed up all the wombs of the house of Abimelech because of Sarah, Abraham's wife. So this is the first recorded dealings with Abraham and the Philistines. There was the potential, obviously, for conflict there. But it was resolved, and Abimelech told him the land was before him. He could dwell where he desired there. In the next chapter, in Genesis 21, verses 22 through 34, it says, it came to pass at that time that Abimelech and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, spake unto Abraham, saying, God is with thee in all that thou doest. Now therefore swear unto me here by God that thou wilt not deal falsely with me, nor with my son, nor with my son's son, but accordingly to the kindness that I have done unto thee, thou shalt do unto me and to the land wherein thou hast sojourned. And Abraham said, I will swear. And Abraham reproved Abimelech because of a well of water which Abimelech's servants had violently taken away. And Abimelech said, I wot not, nor who hath done this thing, neither didst thou tell me, neither yet heard I of it, but today. And Abraham took sheep and oxen and gave them unto Abimelech, and both of them made a covenant. And Abraham set 7 ewe lambs of the flock by themselves. And Abimelech said unto Abraham, what mean these 7 ewe lambs which thou hast set by themselves? And he said, for these 7 ewe lambs that shalt thou take of my hand, that they may be a witness unto me that I have digged this well. Wherefore he called the place Beersheba, because there swear both of them. Thus they made a covenant at Beersheba. Then Abimelech rose up, and Phicol, the chief captain of his host, and they returned into the land of the Philistines. And Abraham planted a grove in Beersheba and called there on the name of the Lord, the everlasting God. And Abraham sojourned in the Philistines' land many days. So Abraham was there for a long time in their land, and we can see this. Abraham was blessed by the Lord very, very richly, and so with his great wealth and the flocks that he accumulated by the Lord's blessings, being in that land, it definitely brought conflict there. You don't have to go far inland from the Mediterranean coast and it gets dry. There were wells that had to be dug, and that was the source of the conflict here, which also occurred again in the days of Isaac, Abraham's son, that we read about in Genesis chapter 26. And there, Isaac had Rebekah there in the land there, and And he went to Abimelech, the king of the Philistines, unto Gerar because of a famine in the land. Genesis 26, verse 1 says, "And there was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee and will bless thee, for unto thee and unto thy seed I will give all these countries, and I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven, and will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar." Well, then conflict arose over water again with the Philistines in this chapter. And so the Philistines had stopped up Abraham's wells after his death. And so Isaac was digging new wells. And every time he did so, then the Philistines were taking the wells. And so there was a conflict over the wells and the water, just like there was with Abraham back in Genesis chapter 21. But God is the one that directed Isaac to dwell there. But as he dwelt there, in spite of conflict arising with him, what is God promising when he says, here, you stay in this land where these Philistines are? Again, he promises to Isaac what he had promised to his father Abraham, that he was going to give all of that land, including that land of the Philistines, to them. And he was going to drive out those nations, destroy them, and all this was going to belong to their descendants. We read about the envy that the Philistines had over Isaac in the way that the Lord had blessed him, like he had blessed Abraham, his father, in verses 12 through 16 here in Genesis 26. It says, then Isaac sowed in that land and received in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. And the man waxed great and went forward and grew until he became very great, for he had possession of flocks and possession of and herds and great store of servants. And the Philistines envied him, for all the wells which his father's servants had digged in the days of Abraham his father, the Philistines had stopped them and filled them with earth. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And so we can see again, they envied him for his wealth that God gave him, and they were trying to get him away from them because he had become mightier than they were. So even in these early encounters between the patriarchs and the Philistines, we see this recurring conflict that had at its root the fact that the Philistines were in the land, the same land where Abraham and Isaac were. But we see God's plan was to give that land to the children of Israel one day. That was his promise, and he was going to fulfill that. So the next time we read about the Philistines in the Bible, it's in the book of Exodus. So this is going to be 400 years into the future. You remember in Genesis chapter 15 when that horror of great darkness fell upon Abram, and the Lord showed him how his descendants were going to be sojourning in a land that was not theirs for 400 years until the wickedness of the Amorites was full. And then he was going to bring them out of the bondage. They were going to be afflicted in that land, which of course we know was Egypt. It was not named in Genesis 15, but that's who it was. That same land that God forbade Isaac to go into to sojourn during that famine. But after they left Egypt, he was going to give them that land of Canaan at the time when the wickedness of the Amorites had reached completion. And so we're now moving forward in time from Abraham and Isaac's days, 400 years or so into the future. Now we have progressed when we get to Exodus chapter 13. And this is at the time when the children of Israel are being given their deliverance from Egypt. So they're coming out of Egypt now at the conclusion of the 10 plagues. It's in chapter 14. that we read about the parting of the Red Sea. So right here in Exodus 13, as they are leaving Egypt, God's going to be the one to lead them in the way that they should go. And in verses 17 and 18, Exodus 13, 17 and 18, it says, "It came to pass when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea, and the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt." So God was leading them, but the way that God chose to lead them was to the east, not the shortest route out of Egypt, which would be along the Mediterranean coast, because that would take them, if they went right up the coast, who are they going to bump into immediately as soon as they get out of that land of Egypt? In that very southern area, that southwestern coast of the Mediterranean Sea, I mean, they're going to come into conflict with the Philistines. They're going to come up in there as a nation, and the Philistines aren't going to welcome them there. And so then there was going to be warfare. Now, if the children of Israel, as a nation, had their faith in God as they should, they would have recognized, they would have believed God's promises that He'd made to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the fact that there was going to be war with the inhabitants of the land. If they believed God when He said that He was going to deliver that land to them and destroy all those nations, should that have bothered them? Well, no, it shouldn't have. Just like it didn't bother Joshua and Caleb when they went into the land of spies, did it? But what about the other ones? And what kind of report did they end up bringing back to the Israelites there in the book of Numbers in chapter 14? And what did they do? God knew the hearts of His people, and He knew they were weak. He obviously knew that. And He knew that if they went up by the coast and immediately came into the proximity of the Philistines, there would be war with the Philistines. And with their weak faith, what would they be likely to do? The very thing that they did just when they heard the report from the spies, when they hadn't even been in a fight in there yet. When they get the report of all these giants in the land and these walled cities and all of this, then they try to appoint them a captain to lead them back to Egypt. So if they had actually seen war with the Philistines, the Lord knew that's what they would do. And so He led them another way because He knew their hearts. They would not have passed that test. Although that was not because God had not given them an adequate promise or His arm had become shortened that He couldn't save them or deliver them. It was because of their weak faith. But that's what God did. He led them through the wilderness so that expressly so they wouldn't come into conflict with the Philistines. So that was in God's designs there at the time when He led them out of Egypt. In chapter 23, Exodus chapter 23, He gives the bounds of the land. Now, when God had told Abraham and Isaac at the time when they were sojourning there in Canaan, and as we read just a while ago in Genesis 26, when He specifically told and promised to Isaac that very land that he was in, it included the land of the Philistines, God was going to give all of that to them and those nations. That included the Philistines. And so we see that God mentions the bounds of the land that He's going to give to the children of Israel in Exodus chapter 23, verses 27 through 33. And He's going to mention this land and its bounds, including the coast of the Mediterranean Sea where the Philistines were. Exodus 23, verses 27 through 33. He says, "I will send my fear before thee, and will destroy all the people to whom thou shalt come. And I will make all thine enemies turn their backs unto thee. And I will send hornets before thee, which shall drive out the Hivite, the Canaanite, and the Hittite from before thee. And I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beast of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea even unto the Sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river, for I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out from before thee. Thou shalt make no covenant with them, nor with their gods. They shall not dwell in thy land, lest they make thee sin against me. For if thou serve their gods, it will surely be a snare unto thee. So here's what God said to them. He was going to deliver all of those nations to them, not all at once, for the reasons he gave. It was going to be little by little. But was there any question or doubt about what the outcome was going to be? Not at all. God said he would give them all of that land, and he intended to give them all of those nations, and told them, commanded them to destroy all those nations. And that was to include the Philistines. God's plan was to give them all of that land. So all of the conflicts we read about through the rest of Israel's history in the Old Testament that come up from here after this point, all of those fights with the Philistines that took place, there should have only been one. When they first entered the land of Canaan, there was going to be a battle then, and maybe a series as they took all of their cities. But there was going to be basically that battle when they entered into their land, and that should have been the end of it, because that's when they would have been delivered into Israel's hand. That's when they would have been utterly destroyed, and then their land would have become Israel's, and would there have been any Philistines around anymore? That would have been the end of them. That was God's plan. And told them to do that, not to leave them in the land, not to preserve them alive, not to intermarry with them, not to be ensnared by them and start worshiping their idols. That's exactly what they did. They didn't destroy them. They did become a snare to them, and they did follow their idols like the other nations there, but it included the Philistines. And that's the one that the Lord really hones in on when we get to the book of the books of Joshua and Judges, when they go into the land. But we're going to save that for our next lesson on this, in this study. So we'll see how the Lord left the Philistines to be a snare to them after they had refused to destroy them like God had commanded them and like he had planned to do. So we'll continue this study, Lord willing, our next time. But we do want to take the opportunity at this moment to encourage anyone that's here tonight that is not yet a child of God. If you've not yet put on Christ in baptism, we're encouraging you to do that this night, that you would come forward and confess your faith in Christ before men, and that you would repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. If you are ready to obey his gospel tonight, we're encouraging you to do that now. We're also encouraging anyone that might be here, if you are a Christian, if you need to repent of anything, or if you need the prayers of the brethren here tonight, this is an opportunity for you also. So anyone that's subject to the Lord's invitation needs to come forward now. Please do so while we stand together and sing.